Tell us your results in 140 characters or less. This is the Environment Report. I'm Mark Brush, in for Rebecca Williams. Twitter, Facebook, and blogs. More scientists are being pushed to join the fray on social media. But as Julie Halpert reports, some fear this new push could mean less time to devote to actual science.
Andrew Maynard is teaching one of the University of Michigan's only classes focused on blogging.
As a matter of interest, how much are people using various avenues to raise awareness of the posts?
I post them on Facebook, and I get plenty of comments in my email and on Facebook.
He's a professor in environmental health sciences, and he says it's a skill crucial to his students' professional success.
I would say very strongly scientists should blog, and they should blog because it forces them to become very familiar with the state of the science in specific areas. They should blog because it gives them the discipline of translating that complex science into something that other people can use.
Maynard says blogging also allows scientists to reach a far larger mainstream audience. This new focus on making sure scientists communicate with the public is in part being driven by the National Science Foundation. It's putting more emphasis in grant proposals on having scientists demonstrate the broader impact of their research, which can include social media. Melissa Melenda is the marketing manager for the Nature Conservancy's Great Lakes region. She says it's not easy to turn scientists into social media believers.
Scientists are inherently introverted people, and we're somewhat reluctant to do something so public and so extroverted.
Melinda wanted to introduce her scientists to an even shorter form of social media, Twitter. She challenged them to a 30-day contest to compete for the most clever Twitter handle, the most followers, and the most retweets.
And they really had a lot of fun with it. And, of course, Matt Herbert came away the big, giant winner. He had the most clever name. He ended up getting the most followers. And, honestly, he had the best content, too.
Matt Herbert is an aquatic ecologist with the Nature Conservancy. He's known as Ethiostomat on Twitter. He was initially skeptical about participating, but ultimately became hooked and now has over 700 followers.
I've gone to different professional meetings where I will interact with scientists that I've never met before, but I know them through Twitter. And so I've actually met people that have built relationships with people through Twitter.
But some think all this emphasis on social media is a distraction. Bradley Cardinelli is an associate professor in the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and the Environment. He thinks Twitter is an inefficient way to communicate among scientists, and he says blogs can force unhealthy trade-offs.
Keeping a blog, for instance, would be a heck of a lot of time on my part. I could spend 2 hours a night writing on my blog to communicate my science to a general public, or I could spend 2 hours a night writing up my science papers so that I summarize my data and tell people what the actual results are in a rigorous way.
Even though he's not a fan of blogging, Cardinelli thinks it's going to be the wave of the future for scientists, and he worries about that impact.
I think with that are going to come some really serious challenges to universities and departments on how we maintain quality of science when, in fact, we're allowing people to communicate what amounts to nothing more than their opinions on scientific media. And so how do you maintain a high quality of the scientific process if you're giving credit for people to simply get on a blog and express their opinion? That's going to be a real challenge for universities.
That's the landscape that scientists will have to navigate as more of them begin to embrace social media. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Halpert.
And that's the Environment Report. I'm Mark Brush.